Good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning, Ilan.
How are you?
Thank God, and how are you? Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah to you too.
Thank you, and to everyone, Chag Sameach. It should be the festival of light that should continue, and we should share the light with everyone, our family and friends and so on and so forth, as we'll talk about today. But I want to just recap something that just happened. Two days ago was the festival, the holiday of Hanukkah, where we had our grand menorah lighting, our 10th annual menorah lighting at the Devonshire Mall, and it was something beautiful, spectacular. We honored the Windsor Fire Department. The fire chief was there, who spoke, the mayor was there, a few other firemen was there. We had a beautiful, beautiful turnout showing of the whole community, Jewish community. There were a lot of other people that weren't Jews, but coming together as a whole community is absolutely beautiful, as well as we went through a lot of latkes and donuts, so that's a good sign too.
Yeah, it was quite sweet there.
Yeah, so Baruch Hashem, thank God, which we'll talk about a little bit about the latkes and donuts in a minute. But we've all heard the story 100 times about the victory of the Maccabees over the Assyrian Greeks, and the miracle of the oil that lasted 8 days instead of one. So their holiday is celebrated by reciting special prayers with public menorah lighting, such as the one that we had in the Devonshire Mall, by sharing the light and the message of the holiday, and of course, with the lighting of the menorah in our home, where we add a candle each of the 8 nights. Now, you know, this is all fine and nice and beautiful, but there's more. Typically, you know, light is used for what you are doing. You flip on a switch, for example, in your bedroom because you need light.
Yeah.
You put a floodlight in your backyard so, you know, you can have a barbecue, play basketball after dark. You turn your flashlight to brighten a dark space so that you can tighten, that screw on your shelf, whatever it may be. So you're turning on the light for something that you need the light. But imagine a world where the reason you created light was for everyone else. You know, there's the great line from JFK where he says, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
Yeah.
So I propose that a deeper message of Hanukkah is what really there is right now, is that ask not what your life will do for you, but what your life will do for others. Now, there's a curious feature about the menorah that was lit in the temple and the light that it produced. In the days of the old, before what we have today, you know, double-pane glass windows, windows worked a bit differently. Houses had thick walls with narrow openings exposed to the outside and a wider opening facing the inside of the house. Sort of like an inverted funnel or bullhorn.
Yeah.
Now, in this way, why did they do that? Is that you limited exposure to intruders, but maximized on the amount of light that you took into your home. So the windows of the Holy Temple were the opposite. The narrow opening was on the inside, and the wider opening was on the outside.
And why is that?
And very good question. And the answer is because our sages teach us that this was because the temple was lighting up the world, not vice versa. So the light, spirituality, or the holiness of the temple brightened up the dark world outside.
So the light came from the inside and not from the outside.
Correct. And so this Hanukkah, perhaps in addition to doing our personal menorah lighting and our mandatory latke eating at home, you know, I'm publicizing the miracle by attending menorah lighting. Let's attempt, we have a few days still left of Hanukkah, to emulate the light of the temple, whose light we are celebrating, and try not just to light up our own lives, but as well as to brighten up the lives of other people and to brighten the light in other lives. You know, there's a really curious law regarding the menorah, because it says that it is forbidden to use the light of the menorah only to gaze upon them. Meaning, what does that mean? That we cannot use the light for the obvious purpose, heat or light. Just, I want to read a book. And I don't have light, so I go and I sit next to the menorah and I read the book. Or I'm cold, my heat is not turning on, so the flames keep me a little bit warm. Rather, we are encouraged just to simply gaze at them. So now, if I can't use them, then what good does gazing upon them do for me? If I could read a book by their light, fine, makes sense. But simply to look at them, what is that worth? Well, why should I do that? So this can really be understood in the context of the light of the temple, which radiated spiritual light into the world. Like the temple light, the lights of the menorah are uplifting, even to those who just look at them. There is something magical about the flame that draws us to stare at them. Now, gazing at them really elevates and inspires us. It's not their use or utility that lifts us up. It's just candles being candles. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Flames being flames. It's their essence. It's their essence that uplifts us. Using them for our mundane purposes, I would say, can potentially diminish that magic. Now, if I'm using the candlelight for reading, guess what happens? My shadow may block you because I'm so close to it. However, simply gazing upon them allows that magic to enter us and spread throughout the whole world. So let's not keep that aura all to ourselves. Let's share that with the world. Let's allow others to experience the light, the mystic of the candles as well. And we simply need to share the light. In other words, let's not keep that light for us. We have to go out. Spread it out. Let it go forward. And by doing that, not only will I feel that magic and have that light that inspires me, but I'm also having that effect that I can have on another individual person. And one of the things that we do is we eat very oily food. Not the greatest for our cholesterol, not the greatest that doctors will advise you to eat, but, you know, for a few days we're okay. So you have the lactis, where we eat the potato pancakes, the traditional ones that we have eat, they're fried in oil, representing the miracle of the oil that lasted for 8 days. We have the donut, where it's also fried in oil, also a great treat. As well as in the time of the Hanukkah, in the time of when the Greeks were oppressing the Jews weren't allowed to learn Torah. And what they would do is they would hide, they would learn Torah, and when the Greek soldiers would come, they would put away the Torah and take out the dreidels, and they would play with the dreidel, the spinning top. And we do that today as well. It's a fun game for the kids. It's a beautiful part of Hanukkah. And I encourage everyone, light the candles. Tonight we're going to light candle number 5.
Yep.
You light 5 candles. And every night we add a light. Instead of lighting, you know, tonight being 5, we would light 5, and then 4, and then 3, and then 2, and then 1. We light 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We keep on adding lights all the time because we don't want to diminish the light. We want to add light. And I encourage everyone, spend some time with the family. Play a dreidel game with the kids. Enjoy some latkes. Have some donuts. And allow that the light that's inspiring you, the light speaks to us. The flames speak to us. Have that energy. Let someone else. Invite someone to your home for Hanukkah. Light someone else's fire. And with that, we will make sure that this world becomes a better, brighter, and shinier place for all of us and our children to exist and live in a beautiful world.
Spread your light.
Exactly. Share the light. You know, there's a hashtag on Facebook, share the light. So if you do that, you join millions and millions of people that are sharing their light.
Okay. Rabbi, what about services this
weekend? Have services beautifully. You know, we've had services all week because of Hanukkah. And we've had a minyan and we have a minyan tomorrow morning at 7:15. And then we have Friday evening, 5 o'clock. Shabbat morning is at 9:30. Sunday morning is at 8:30, followed by breakfast. Monday and Thursday morning is at 7:15. Great way to start the work. You're back in the office at 8 o'clock. It's a spiritual way. and you feel amazing at the end of your morning prayer that the time starts, you have a great day planned.
Rabbi, I want to thank you and to wish you Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach.
Wishing you Shabbat Shalom, Chag Sameach, and I look forward to talking next week where we will talk about how we, all of us, were able to share the light with all our friends and family.
That's great. Thank you.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.